We will be reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. And just a word of encouragement. I'm telling you, street ministry is exciting. Street ministry is exciting. I was running late this past Thursday, and I parked my truck, and I knew Brother Mike was there. I looped a couple of times, couldn't find a parking spot. Brother Mike was sharing the gospel with somebody. I said, I got to get a parking spot. And when I got a parking spot, one of the brothers at Ewell Brothers, which is a men's clothing store, saw me walk, and he said, you're late. You're late. I said, wow, man. They didn't know that this is preaching time. This is sharing the gospel time. Isn't that something? Yeah. Amen. And I hope I'm not late for prison ministry today, so y'all pray for that. Pray for that. I was reminded, not everybody in prison. You did a good job on Acts 16 when you preached on the keeper of the prison and the attitude of Paul and Silas in the prison. And they were incarcerated, but what did they do? They praised the Lord, right? They rejoiced in Christ. And the Lord released them out of prison, but some of the prisoners were not released. They had to return back to prison. And so we want those prisoners to do what Paul and Silas started. In this 21st century, we want them who are in Christ to be able to do what? Sing and praise the Lord. Pray for them this Sunday. Pray for them this Sunday. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Beloved.
Reading. The Word of God, and we welcome you this morning, and we look forward to what God will do in the coming days. And we've said this many times when we come to VBS time, that our desire truly is to share the gospel with children and to see them come to our great God through faith in Jesus Christ, but at the same time to realize that he's working in our hearts and moving us to trust him and depend upon him and to realize that not only in this VBS ministry, but in any and every ministry, we cannot do it on our own. Amen. It must be from him and through him and for him. So we thank God for that opportunity. Let's bow our heads right now and let's ask God's help as we study the scriptures. Father, you've brought us here. We rejoice in that. And God, for what we've learned this morning, what we've heard today so far, we thank you. Thank you that you speak to us through your word. And it's infallible. It is sufficient. God, we thank you for the word that will change our lives by the work of the Holy Spirit. And God, even today, even right now at this moment, as our scriptures, the Bible is opened, we see it before us, Lord. We look forward to what you will do in helping us to know you more and be changed into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that these are not shallow words, but these are the desires of our hearts, that you truly will be honored and glorified and praised as we're changed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to look again at 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'd like to focus this morning on verses 6 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'd like to read again verses 6 through 8. Peter says, "Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, and they stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed." What I'd like to do today is draw out the main point of verses 6 through 8 and then encourage your faith as you face difficulties and sufferings in your life right now. And I think that's Peter's purpose. That's why he's giving this book, and that's why we have this passage before us today. Last week, if we think about what we looked at in this passage, we looked at verses 4 and 5, and we saw how that coming to Jesus, who is God's living stone, causes us to be living stones and shapes us into a spiritual house for God's dwelling and makes us a spiritual priesthood so that we can offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and obedience that will be acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said in verses 4 and 5. And of course, the key is Jesus. The key is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He is the living stone, which is the foundation of this house, and his life is imparted to all the little stones, those who believe, and we who believe are built into a temple or a house that throbs with life. And folks, that's Peter's picture of the church. That's how he describes the church in this passage. He's reminding these believers in his time, he's reminding us today of who we are and how we became who we are. Now here, in verses 6 through 8, Peter will give us three quotations from the Old Testament to show us where he got this idea of Jesus as the stone. But we need to look at these quotes carefully, because not only does he give the quotes from the Old Testament, but I want you to see that he interprets them and he helps us to apply these quotes, or the truth of these quotes, to apply them in our own individual lives and our own situations. So let's look at these quotes and let's pay attention now to the encouragement that Peter gives us. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that he talks about those who believe on the stone. Those who believe on the stone. Look at verse 6. He says, "Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" And so here in verse 6, Peter quotes from Isaiah 28, verse 16. And the point here that he's making is this, that if you trust in Jesus, God's cornerstone, you'll not be disappointed and you'll not be put to shame. Now let's think about this, because this stone, who is Jesus, will not prove to be faulty. If you build your life on this stone, Jesus, you will not crumble in the storm. If you hide behind this stone, Jesus, you will be safe. If you stand on this truth of this stone, Jesus, you will not be ashamed. If you join with others in this spiritual house built on this stone, Jesus, you will be secure and your fellowship will stand. And see, Peter's giving us this truth of this stone, this strong, solid stone in which we've put our faith, and this faith is in Jesus Christ. And he quotes from Isaiah, actually the words of God. God is speaking here in Isaiah 28:16, and then Peter quotes it. And so God says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." Brothers and sisters, think about this. A statement from the Old Testament to the Jewish people and a statement now to God's people today, to the church, that if we put our trust and our faith in the stone, Jesus Christ, we will not be put to shame. Amen. That's a promise. Amen. That's the promise of God. Old Testament promise, New Testament promise. And then in verse 7, Peter draws out the lesson in his own words, and he says, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious." He is precious. See, and he takes this word precious from verse 6, where Jesus is the precious cornerstone, and he says that this preciousness is for believers. So for believers, Jesus is precious. This is where we ended last week. Is Jesus precious to you? Is he precious to you? See, if you believe on this stone, on Jesus, if you trust him and you bank your life on him and you place your future on him, then he is truly precious and you will never be disappointed in him or ashamed of him. And Jesus will never let you down. Others may, but Jesus will never, ever let you down. Now let's think about this, because this is a great encouragement for us today, is it not? Amen. That Jesus will never let us down. And this is especially a great encouragement when we think about the things of our lives that can discourage us, when we think about the things of life around us that can discourage us. So think about this with me. If there was a way that you could never be disappointed or discouraged or ashamed, wouldn't you want to know that way? Amen. Wouldn't you want to know how that can take place, how those things would never happen? Peter says it this way. He says, trust in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in the stone, because he is God's chosen and precious cornerstone, and therefore you cannot lose in him, and you cannot be disappointed in him, and you cannot be put to shame in him. And folks, I submit to you that this is tremendously encouraging, that God has laid in Zion a chief cornerstone who was elect and precious, and whoever believes in him will by no means be put to shame. That's the promise of God. You cannot lose in Jesus. You cannot lose in Jesus. Whatever comes in your life, whatever difficulties that you face, whatever challenges are before you, whatever sufferings that you may experience. And remember, these readers of Peter, they're going through these things. It's a part of their life at this point. You cannot lose in Jesus. You believe in him, and he is precious to you. Now, you know, Peter could stop right here. If he would have stopped right at this moment, that would have been great. That's an encouragement. That's a blessing to our hearts. But Peter doesn't stop. Because now he describes those who disbelieve the stone. Now, why would he do this? Why not stop with the positive? Why talk about the negative? Why not talk about the positive and the good effects of belief instead of going on to talk about the negative side of unbelief? Well, look at the second part of verse 7. Second part of verse 7. He says, but to those who are disobedient, or to those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, he quotes here from Psalm 118, verse 22. And so what's his point? Why does he do this? Why does he go into the negative? Why does he quote from this Old Testament psalm? See, Peter's saying that not believing in Jesus is like rejecting the stone that God has laid as the chief cornerstone. In other words, God sends His Son to be the main stone in the building of His church, His people, but some do not trust Him. Some reject Him. But what effect does that have on the purpose of God? What effect does the rejection and disbelief of the stone, Jesus Christ, what effect does that have on the purpose of God? And here, I believe, is Peter's point. It does not defeat God's purpose at all. Because the stone which the builders rejected, this stone has become the chief cornerstone. And if you believe on the stone, you cannot lose. And if you disbelieve this stone, if you disbelieve Jesus, you can't win. And what that means, folks, is that human unbelief does not, and I emphasize to you this morning, does not frustrate or defeat or hinder the ultimate purpose of God. And if God plans for Jesus to be the chief cornerstone, then humans can betray Him and reject Him and desert Him and deny Him and mock Him and strike Him and spit on Him and hit Him with rods and crown Him with thorns and strip Him and crucify Him and bury Him, but they cannot stop Him. And they cannot stop Him from being and doing what God destined Him to be and to do. You see, God's plans and purposes cannot be stopped. And here's what Peter's saying. Here's the encouragement that Peter gives us. Remember now, he's talking to believers who are suffering. They're beginning to feel the pain of persecution. Those things are happening in their lives, and he's writing to encourage them. And folks, even when sinful men reject Jesus or they reject the stone, it will not affect the plan of God. God is actually using the rejection and the unbelief to accomplish His purpose and plan. Now, is that encouraging? Is that a blessing to us? It is. And that's why Peter shares it. And even when it looks like sinful men and sinful nations and sinful ideas and sinful leaders and sinful philosophies and sinful situations and even sinful angels, when it looks like they're winning, they're not. Amen. They're not. Because the stone which they reject has become the chief cornerstone. So look at verse 8. The main point of mentioning then the negative side of unbelief is to stress that it can't win. It cannot frustrate or stop God's ultimate purpose. And that, folks, is also the point of verse 8, because Peter goes on to say in verse 8, and he quotes here from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, that Christ became, look at this, Christ became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and they stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Now, I would say to you that the first part of this we understand. The first part of this we can clearly see, because people reject Jesus and he is a stone of stumbling and he is a rock of offense to many people. I'm sure Thursday night you see that. You hear that. We do, as we interact, as we live in this world, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. Jesus is a stone of stumbling. He's a rock of offense. If you don't think he is, then begin to talk to people about Jesus. And you'll see exactly what Peter's saying here. People stumble over Jesus. People are offended by Jesus. But oh, folks, this last statement in verse 8. It stuns us. Because Peter says, to which they also were appointed. And see, I think Peter makes this statement for this reason. He intends to sever the last strand of self-reliance. Because he says, to this stumbling and disobedience, they were appointed. And folks, what that means then, if any unbeliever, if any who have rejected the stone, if any who have turned away in disbelief to Jesus Christ, if any unbeliever would boast and they would say, I have chosen my own destiny, and they lift their fist to God and they shake their fist at God and they say, I have chosen my own destiny and I have chosen my own disobedience. I have chosen my own stumbling. And they shake their fist at God and they say, I have done this and I will show God. Shaking their fist at God, I will show God that I have the final and the ultimate say in my life. And I will show you, God, that I have the power of ultimate self-determination. And I will show you, God, that I am the captain of my own soul. And I will show you, God, that I can frustrate your plan and your purpose with my own self-will. If anyone would stand before God and boast in such a way, whether it be an individual, whether it be a nation, whether it be leaders, whoever it may be, if anyone thinks and if anyone boasts in this, then Peter responds with these awesome, terrifying words. No, you can't. You only think that you can. And you will discover sooner or later that whatever you choose, and folks, make no mistake, these choices are real and they're crucial. Whatever you choose, Peter reminds us, you were appointed to this. You were destined for this. And what then is Peter's point? His point is this, that God will have the last say, not man. God will have the last say. And no human can stop or hinder the ultimate purpose of God, not by belief or unbelief. Now, I ask you, why does Peter say such a shocking thing? You see how easy it is to read through a scripture and to just pass over it and not see a little phrase like that and not stop in wonder and awe at what the Holy Spirit is saying through the writers of Scripture. Why does Peter say this shocking thing? Why does he bring this truth up? And see, I believe he does it for the encouragement of believers. Because what he means here is that human choices cannot frustrate God's plan. Human choices cannot finally destroy this temple of God, this house of God, this people of God. You see, what he's saying to believers, what he's saying to all who would hear is simply this, that human choices are not ultimate. They are not the final say. God is. God is. And a person can reject the chosen and precious stone of Jesus Christ, but if they do, two things are still true. First of all, that stone will not be rejected by God and will still be put in the place of honor and glory forever and ever as the chief cornerstone. Even when people reject Jesus, even when they turn away from Jesus, even when they want nothing to do with Jesus, that will not affect the purpose of God, because God has chosen this elect, this precious corner of this dwelling that God has built. And His name is Jesus. And folks, even unbelievers fulfill God's purpose. So second thing that's true, the one who rejects the stone will never be able to boast over God that he frustrated God's ultimate design for God's spiritual house or his people or his church. And so even unbelievers fulfill God's purpose and appointments. Folks, God cannot be defeated. And God is even victorious when people reject him. Amen. And so how does it help us? How does it encourage us this morning? God's great purposes for the building of His church and the building of these living stones of the church, His people, we're reminded that the building of this church often comes through seasons of rejection and suffering and distress and difficulty. You see, the people that Peter wrote to needed to hear that. And folks, we also need to hear it. And yet, even if we reject His way, you see, in the end, God remains victorious, and none of us can bring God's purpose to ruin. And even if we reject His way, we cannot destroy His plan. Someone said this. They said, we all serve God inevitably, but it makes a great difference whether we serve like Judas or we serve like the Apostle John. But we all serve God inevitably, finally. We do. But in the end, God is still triumphant in our belief and our unbelief. And God is victorious in our obedience and our disobedience. And human beings, whether good or evil, rejecting or accepting, believing or disbelieving, cannot stop the ultimate purpose of God. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone, and His name is Jesus. And so this morning I say to you this, that God is calling us to trust Him, and God is calling us to believe Him and depend upon Him. And folks, our choices are real. Our choices have real consequences. But frankly, I would rather be John than Judas. But God is God. Whether it's Judas or whether it's John, God is God. And the rejected stone has become the chief cornerstone. And so be encouraged this morning in God and be thankful to God and keep your focus on God through Jesus Christ, because to you who believe, He is precious. He is precious. Let's bow our heads.